I've got a pretty good memory. Now, who are you? No. No, I'm just messing with you. And anyhow, it's a privilege to be able to sit at his feet. He's going to come preach for us tonight. You may decide you want to sing, have your family sing or something. You can. Whatever it is you want to do. We're pretty easy, laid going, laid back. You may just want to jump right in it, however it is. God, don't forget to turn your button on, sir. Amen.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You mean talk? That'd be a good idea if I'm preaching, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, good singing. Good singing. Some good songs. Evie sings at the nursing home a lot. Peace in the middle of my storm. And boy, it blesses me every time I hear it. Because we all go through storms. What's that old saying? You either in a storm, going out of a storm, or you fixing to go in a storm. That's just the facts. Seems like now, day and age, it seems like we're in a storm more than we're out of a storm. But I'm thankful that he's with you through the storm, amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word. Find your place, say amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. Lord God, we thank you for letting us be in your house, Lord God, be able to come here and just hear from your word, Lord God. I pray that you would just use me for your honor and your glory right now, Lord God, and I pray that you open hearts to hear what you'd have everybody to hear. Lord, we just want to say thank you. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Daniel chapter 4. I got a few little thoughts here, but I'm going to preach on from beast to bride. From beast to bride. It's a testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar. He starts off in the first three verses that we read, King Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 2, he said, I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Well, I tell you what, there's been a change in that, old boy, by them first three verses. And we'll get to that later on in the message, but there's been a change. It's not the same one that's trying to kill people in chapter 3 if they wasn't obeying his command, is it? I tell you what a blessing. What a blessing it is. We see later on in the end of the chapter that he got saved. Old Testament salvation, but he got saved, amen. And first thing I see here is contentment and pride in verse 4. Look with me at verse 4. Now, just so y'all know, there's 37 verses in this chapter, and I'm going to read every one of them. You kind of have to get the complete story, so y'all don't panic. And for some of y'all, hey, if y'all will read along with me while I'm reading, y'all might actually read a chapter, a full chapter this year. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen? I'm just kidding. Amen. Contentment and pride in verse 4. I tell you what, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I tell you what, I see he was the top dog. He was the head honcho, if you will. You know, in there, verse 1, he says he was king over all the earth. He had no wants, no needs. He had no desires. He had everything he could ever dream of, everything he could possibly want. He had all the gold, all the silver, everything. And just the chapter before, he had done built a golden image and had everybody bowing down to it and worshiping the golden image at his command, and if they didn't, we all know, we just talked about it, they threw him in the fiery furnace and he killed him. He had a right to kill you, or he had the right to let you live. He was the top dog. I don't know why I keep saying top dog, I just like that. It just sounds tough, I guess. But he was king over all the earth, and God had set him there. But he was king over all the earth. He was in need of nothing in his own eyes. It says there in verse 4, he was at rest in his own house. He was content, but he was also very prideful. He didn't need God. He had his own gods, and he thought they were plenty good enough. He didn't need somebody else trying to help him out or trying to give him advice. He was the one that made all the decisions in the whole kingdom and all the earth. And if he needed help, he'd ask for it. He definitely didn't want unsolicited help. He was the man. He was the king over all the earth. In verse 30, it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Hey, it's all about himself, wasn't it? We're not careful. We're the same way. It's all about ourselves. We're all prideful. That's flesh. We have to fight that every day. But if we're not careful, we'll be that same way. Look what I did. Look what I've done. Look what I got. I tell you what, there's nothing you've done, nothing I've done, nothing I have, nothing I'll ever do that wasn't from God. That wasn't a gift from God. Amen. He was full of pride. Proverbs 16:18, we all know it. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. And what we're going to see in this chapter, he's going to fall, isn't he? If any Bible readers here that know what's going to happen, amen, he's going to fall. I'll just give you a heads up. You know, isn't that the same way we were before we got born again? Isn't that the same way that the world thinks? The same way the religious but lost think? They're content in their own trespasses and sin. Why? I don't know. I was there, and I don't know why I was. Why I was content. Why I was happy living in the world. I'll never know why. They don't need anybody else to tell them anything, tell them what to do. They're their own king, and they like it. They like it that way. I mean, how many people have you witnessed to throughout the walk of life? Maybe at work, wherever it may be. How many people have you witnessed to? Oh, I believe God. I believe in God, sure, sure. Oh, me and God, we have an understanding. It's not going to be a problem. We got an understanding. And then, unfortunately, I've had those that they'll hang their head and said, I know I'm going to hell. Boy, that's sad. That's sad. I got one in my mind right now. I'm not going to say names. He said, I know I'm going to hell. I said, and you're okay with that? No. But still. Pride. Pride. The world's full of people like that. Too much pride to let go and let God save them. Boy, it's a shame. We all have friends and family and acquaintances just like that. And can I encourage you? Don't give up on them. Keep witnessing. Keep praying for them. Keep lifting their name up to God, amen, because you never know one day, just like God did to King Nebuchadnezzar, like we're going to read, God might put them in a position and bring them to themselves. He might humble themselves, might humble them, and they might get saved. All we can do is give them the word of God. When the door's open, witness to them, give them the word of God. It's up to God after that. But don't give up. Don't quit praying. You know, I remember the day that God saved me, I was kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar, except the fact I grew up in church. All my life, from a little boy, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm sure most of y'all know my testimony, but I'm going to say it again anyway just because it's a blessing. Because it reminds me of how good God's been to me. Brought up in church. That's a blessing in and of itself, boys. Being brought up in church. Be thankful. You should thank your parents. Thank you for bringing me to church. There's a lot of this world that you're going to miss out on. That it's worth missing. Trust me. It's worth missing. But I made a lot of professions of faith. I went to teen camp. Made some professions of faith. I came to this church. I remember sitting over there where Lindsay was. Preacher was preaching. There I was, been in church all my life. Thought I was saved. I was shouting him on, doing all the good. But here I was sitting on a church pew, and I was still lost. I was still dying, going straight to hell. But one day, God came knocking on my heart's door, amen. And all that pride that I had was gone. He humbled me. What a blessing. What a blessing. And can I just say, if you're here, you might be in the same situation. I don't know everybody's heart, only you and God know. But if you're here and you haven't been born by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God, what are you waiting on? Everybody here that I see, for the most part, has heard enough preaching. I said this every time, but it's the truth. You've heard enough preaching to save the world 10 times over. Pride. It's pride. I was that way. Oh, what are people going to think if I get up? I've been here my whole life since I was a little boy. Here I am. What are they going to think? Maybe a little girl. Maybe you were older like I was. Oh, man, they think I'm saved. That's going to be bad if I get up in front of them. No, it's not. Hey, hallelujah, amen. Angels are going to rejoice when you get saved, amen. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Not only do I see a contentment and pride, and second thing I see in verses 5 is that God gave them a chance for repentance. Starting verse 5, we're going to have a little bit of reading here, so y'all bear with me. 5 through 29. Isn't that something y'all aren't used to? That's something I'm not used to either. Let's see if I can make it that far without messing up, amen. Verse 5, it says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before me, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Verse 8, but at the last Daniel came in before me. Isn't that funny? He already had the same situation in chapter 2. He's already done the same thing. He's already sought the help of all the magicians, all the astrologers, all the Chaldeans, and they couldn't do nothing for him. Finally Daniel gave him the interpretation from God. But isn't it just like us to try to fix things ourselves? Yeah. It is. Try to fix things ourselves and ask other people's opinions that we might want to hear instead of just going to the man of God or seeking God's wisdom for it. It's a lot easier. Save you a lot of trouble. Verse 8, but it said, at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom the spirit of the holy gods and before him was told the dream. Here's the dream. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed, and I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off the leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over the beast of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. I would imagine he was a little scared to tell the king of what the interpretation was. I would be, amen. He said his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, and whose height reached unto the heavens, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches of the fowls of the heaven had their inhabitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the degree of the Most High which has come upon the Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whoever he will. And where it is they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that ye have known that the heavens do rule. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of the tranquility. I see there in verse 27, it says, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. He's trying to help King Nebuchadnezzar out. Can I just say, keep giving godly counsel? Keep giving the word of God? Whether they want it or not? Yeah. The Bible says the word of the Lord won't return void. It's our job to give it out, to be a blessing, to help others around us. Verse 28 says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. That's most of the reading. Y'all can say amen right there. Well, God has shown himself to Nebuchadnezzar quite a few times already in the book of Daniel. Chapter 1, he showed himself through Daniel's wisdom. That didn't convert him, though, did it? Chapter 2, he revealed King Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him through Daniel. And he learned of God's prophetic plan. That didn't convert him either. Even over there in chapter 2, verse 47, he said, the king answered to Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Seemed like he knew about God. Didn't convert him. Chapter 3, we all know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're delivered from the fiery furnace. He saw the Son of God walking in there with them in the midst of the fire. He made a decree in chapter 3, 29, because there is no other God that can deliver after this source what he said. That didn't convert him. Sure seems like he heard a lot about God, didn't it? God showed himself to Nebuchadnezzar many a times. Many a times. And here in chapter 4, God shows him the dream and what's going to happen to himself if he doesn't humble himself before God. But hey, that didn't convert him either. God's given Nebuchadnezzar ample chances to repent. Now God's fixing to get his attention. You know what? I thank God for his long suffering. We're talking about chances for repentance. I'm thankful for his long suffering. He's so long suffering with me. He was long suffering before salvation, and he's still long suffering now, even after salvation. Over there in 2 Peter, y'all don't have to turn there, I'll read it real quick. 2 Peter 3:9. We all know it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see the Lord's been speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. Hadn't changed him. He's given him a year to think about what Daniel told him. A full year to ponder on it. Didn't change him. Let me ask you, has the Lord been speaking to you? Have you come to repentance in the free pardon of sin? Have you been saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God? I pray that you have. Don't wait like Nebuchadnezzar did until a catastrophe happens. Until it's not too late in his case, but it's too late to not have to go through the trial that he went through. To not have to go through the storm that he went through, like she sang about, amen. Which brings me to my third point. Catastrophe. He saw a catastrophe. Verse 31 through 33. It says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will. The same hour the thing was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heavens till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. Could you imagine? 7 years. Not bathing unless it rained. Not cutting your hair. Not cutting your fingernails. It says his hair was like eagle's feathers. Just a tangled mess. I don't know. I don't know what that means per se, but it's got to be. That's got to be rough. For 7 years, he was king over all the earth. Think about that. He had everything. Everything he ever wanted, everything he ever dreamed of, he had it, and God took it away like that. He lost all his riches, all his power. He lost everything and became a beast. How humbling is that? Let me ask you, what are you willing to give up to get, or what are you willing to give up for God to get your attention? What kind of catastrophe is it going to take for you to call upon the name of the Lord? What kind of catastrophe is it going to take? What kind of storm are you going to have to God to get your attention? Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. Are you willing to spend eternity in hell because of a little pride? You willing to spend eternity in hell because you're worried about what somebody else thinks? You willing to spend eternity in hell for things of this world? I hope not. I tell you what, there's nothing this world has to offer. There's nothing in this world that's worth hell, amen? I tell you what, this flesh loves the world. We all know that because we all fight it. But there is nothing, I mean nothing, worth hell. Nothing. I tell you what, the day Jesus saved me from hell, that's the best day of my life. That is the best thing that ever happened to me. When he looked down at this old wicked black heart, he washed it in the red blood of Jesus Christ, amen, and now it's whiter than snow. I'm thankful that when God looks down from heaven, amen, he doesn't see the old wicked wretch that I am. He doesn't see the sinner that I am, amen. He sees the blood of the Lamb of God, amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God. There's so much joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, amen. I'm here to tell you there is nothing better than God.
Yes, sir.
Catastrophes. You know, not only that doesn't apply to, in this situation, it applies to Nebuchadnezzar getting saved, but it can also apply to us that are saved. You know, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What catastrophe in your life is God going to let happen? Talking to saved people now. What is God going to do in your life to get your attention? To get you right with him. Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourge every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If you claim to be saved and you're living in sin, and yes, you know if you are or not. Nobody else may know, but you know. And God knows. If you're living in sin over and over and over, we all sin. I'm not talking about that. We all sin. I'm talking about habitual sin over and over and over and over. And you never see any chastisement. If God never troubles your heart about it, and you can just go along like it's no big deal, friend, can I say you better just kind of go back to where you think you got saved. And double check. Because according to Hebrews 12, I got a feeling you might be a bastard, not a son. Fourth thing I see here is a conversion, verse 34 and 35. We're getting close to the finish. Y'all can say amen again. Verse 34, it says, "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised, and I honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay in his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the end of his days, lifted up my eyes to heaven." You remember when you finally came to yourself? I know right there the end of the days is talking about the 7 years is over or completed. But in my mind, it makes me think of the end of the days where I kept fighting God. The end of the days where I humbled my heart before a thrice holy God. You remember that day? He says, "And Nebuchadnezzar lifted up my eyes unto heaven." He was a beast this whole time. You ever seen a cow looking up, looking around? An oxen, as it says? No. Most beasts, most animals, they don't look up. They just look down. You know why? There's no relationship with God there. They're just a beast. They're a nobody. They're nothing. Look back in verse 35. It says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." He came to the realization that he was nothing without God. He came to the realization. And when he finally came to, he blessed the Most High, and he praised and honored him that liveth forever. You know what? I think back, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Reminds me of that song. Without him, I would be nothing. What a song. I also see a change. Can I just say that if there's no change, no conversion? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Have you been changed? First thing I see here in verse 36, let's go ahead and read 36. It says, "At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." The first thing he changed was his appearance. Here he was, 7 years of long hair, filthiness, dirtiness. I bet the first thing he did was take a bath. Get all that dirtiness off of him. That's what I'd have done. I bet he cut his hair, amen. I bet it wasn't like eagle's feathers anymore. But you read on, it says, "And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." Boy, I can't help think of the picture. When I was lost in sin, I was dirty. I didn't have long hair, though, amen. But I was dirty, lost, undone, filthy. My righteousness was but as filthy rags. But look here. It says, "An excellent majesty was added unto me." I can't help but think he got cleaned up. God saved him, and he took that old life And he changed it. He washed it away, and now I don't have that old stuff anymore. I guarantee you, he got saved, and now he's putting back on the king's robes, the king's crown. He's getting all his riches back, and I can't help to think that I was there. I was the beast in the field one day. And now, amen, I have a kingdom established for me in heaven. I have a mansion being built for me in heaven. Amen. One day I'm going to have a robe. One day I'm going to be able to walk on the streets of gold. I'm going to be able to have all the riches that he has. What a blessing, amen. That blesses my soul. Mm. Verse 37. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose work are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Mm. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You're going to have to get rid of the pride if you ever want to get saved. You're going to have to get rid of your pride if you ever want to move further in your relationship with God. If you're ever going to have a real relationship with God, you're going to put yourself aside. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek yourself. Mm. What are you doing with God? He got changed. Let's go back to the verse 1 through 3 of chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. What a change. What a change. It's amazing what God will do to people like us. Amen? To people like us, how he can change us. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he ain't trying to kill nobody. He's telling them about God, how good God's been to him. And can I just say, God's been good to me? God's been good to each and every one of us. So much better than we deserve, amen. We should thank him on a regular basis. The Bible says in everything by prayer and supplication, it says with thanksgiving. Every time you pray to God, you should thank him. You should thank him. I know Nebuchadnezzar was thanking him. Look what he had to go through. What are you willing to go through? You willing to go to hell? Are you willing to go through some catastrophe, some major trial in your life for God to get your attention? For God to finally take away your pride and humble your heart where you can get saved? What about your walk with God? How far are you willing to go with him? What are you willing to give up for God? Lord, help me. Because so many times I catch myself, it's so easy to get caught up in the things of the world. I know I need to read my Bible. I might actually get 2 chapters in this year. But that's a good TV show that's on. I can't get off my phone. I'm scrolling through Facebook or something. You know what I mean? That's a daily battle for all of us. Every day. Every hour of every day. Nonstop. But let me ask you. Are you seeking him first? Are you willing to give up for some of these worldly things so you can have a closer walk with him? Just a closer walk with thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for the example of King Nebuchadnezzar to show us, Lord, you can do whatever you want to. You put people how you want to. Put people where they need to be, Lord God. And you can take them out just as easy as you place them there. Lord, help us to learn to be faithful to you. Help us to learn to seek you daily, to die to ourselves daily, Lord, where we can have a relationship with you, where maybe we can bypass some of these trials that you might put on us to get our attention. Lord, you say if we confess our sins that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, help us to do that. So many times we let stuff slide because we think it's not a big deal, Lord, but to you it is. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Lord, give me strength to make it through this world, through everyday life, Lord, how you want me to. Help me to be a witness with my lip, with my life, in everything that I do. We'll just say that we love you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good preaching all the way around. Started out and talking about a man that knew a lot about God. Amen. And you know, that's one thing to know a lot about God. One day he finally realized, no, he needs to know God.
Right.
You can know a lot about God inside and out, upside and down, crossways, sideways, Hebrew and Greek and whatever else. But do you know him?
Amen.
Do you know him? See? And more than that, does he know you? You remember over there whenever the Lord said that not everyone will say then to me, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And let me tell you something right now. They was thinking, Lord, we've been preaching in your name, casting out devils in your name, doing many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus said unto them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So it's not enough just to know about God. I'm going to tell you right now, it's enough to know him. I guarantee he is enough.
Amen.
He's enough. Excellent job. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to leave here tonight. May the Lord trouble your heart to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin if you do not already. How about Brother Bennett dismissing us?
See you again Sunday, Lord, and through the week, Lord, I pray that you get us all back.